This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
They are one of the largest recipients of NIH funding. Their scientists played a substantial role in developing more than half the cancer drugs approved by the FDA in the last 5 years. Dana-Farber Cancer Institute has been making one advanced cancer discovery after another for over 75 years. At Dana-Farber Cancer Institute, what we do here changes lives everywhere. Find out more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
The beef is back.
The Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Today, Japan said it's going to let U.S. beef back into the country. A couple years ago, Japan stopped importing American meat because of mad cow disease. Then it let the beef come in again. Then Japan imposed another ban. Why is this such a big deal? Here's Marketplace's Dan Gretsch.
Japan was once the most lucrative overseas market for U.S. beef. But since December 2003, that trade has essentially stopped. Jay Truitt is with the National Cattlemen's Beef Association.
It turns out to be close to $1 billion that's disappeared, and the impact on our marketplace is even bigger than that, maybe $2 or $3 billion on an annual basis.
That bigger impact is because beef that once went to Japan is now flooding the U.S. market, driving down prices here. But Truitt says that one industry's loss is another industry's gain.
When we really look at it across the consumer profile that we filled in the past, we think the people that benefited the most at the end of the day may be the U.S. pork and poultry industry.
Since the ban, Japanese consumers have been buying more pork and chicken, but they're expected to switch back to beef once exports resume. I'm Dan Gretsch for Marketplace.
A wild session on Wall Street yesterday. A lot of fluctuation. Good earnings, bad earnings. Here are the final numbers. The Dow fell 1 point, 0.01% to 11,102. The NASDAQ fell 0.1% to 2070. Amazon was a killer. Amazon shares lost a fifth of their value thanks to a big drop in sales. Today, Sony said it swung to a profit in the last quarter, perhaps the sign of a turnaround. Sony's rival Toshiba started selling its HD DVD recorder in Japan today. It's about time. People have been waiting on this for a while now. But Toshiba has its work cut out in this high-definition battle. More now from Charlotte Baer.
Toshiba and Sony are racing to find an advantage that'll send the other's DVD format to the landfill. Toshiba's latest weapon is armed with about 130 hours of storage space and recordable disc capability. But technology analyst Ted Shadler says it'll take more than just a fancy recorder for Toshiba to overtake Sony's competing Blu-ray technology.
For consumers, it's a very simple decision. They're going to buy the player that plays the most movies. Right now, Blu-ray has the clear advantage. Every single movie studio except one has announced that it will support Blu-ray.
But it's not all roses for Sony. Blu-ray recorders have been available for 3 years in Japan, but still haven't caught on. I'm Charlotte Baer for Marketplace.
If the label says made in China, well, be careful. Today, a Chinese official said more than a fifth of all goods coming out of that country aren't up to snuff. He says everything from electric blankets to DVDs don't meet the quality standards of more developed countries, and that creates health and safety risks, because we're not just talking about electric blankets and DVDs. This also includes drugs and food. This is Marketplace. The U.S. Chamber of Commerce wants some more friends in Congress, or at least to keep the friends it already has. Rachel Dornhelm reports.
The U.S. Chamber of Commerce will start airing the political commercials today, calling it a voter education campaign. The ads will support pro-business candidates in over 30 key House and Senate races. The advocacy group has funded political ads in the past. This year, it plans to spend more than $10 million. The chamber's national political director says the effort will start by lauding incumbents in tight races who voted for the business-backed Medicare prescription drug bill. Later ads will highlight the candidate's support for other issues important to the business community. Senators with the group's backing include Republican Mike DeWine of Ohio and Democrat Joe Lieberman in Connecticut. The Chamber of Commerce represents more than 3 million businesses in the U.S. I'm Rachel Dornhelm for Marketplace.
The Marketplace Morning Report is produced and distributed by American Public Media.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by LendingTree.com, where you can choose from up to 4 customized loan offers, 1-800-555-TREE. When banks compete, you win. LendingTree.com. The Marketplace Entrepreneurship Desk is supported by the Kauffman Foundation of Kansas City, the foundation of entrepreneurship, on the web at kauffman.org.
This is Marketplace. I'm Scott Jagow. This morning, we'll get the latest numbers on new home sales. I think I'll go out on a limb and say they'll be slower. Existing home sales came out on Tuesday. They were down for the 8th time in 10 months. Shares of the major home building companies on the New York Stock Exchange have dropped 46% in the last year and a half. So we have glaring signs the housing market is well into its slowdown. Our economics correspondent Chris Farrell says the debate about this is shifting.
I think it's shifted to, yes, the market has slowed down. Does that mean a slowdown in the market or a recession for the U.S. economy?
Well, Chris, I'm going to put you on the spot right now.
Okay.
Because I want to go back to what you said on December 29th of 2005 about this particular topic.
So the no-brainer forecast for 2006, prices are going to come down a little bit. A lot of people are going to pull their homes off the market. Our homes are no longer going to be ATM machines. We're not going to be borrowing. But it's not going to be enough to take the economy into recession. That's going to take something else.
Okay, so how do you feel about that now?
I still agree. We can stop right now. I absolutely agree. Housing market has slowed down. Your home is not going to be an ATM machine, but there is no disaster in the making. This is not the mother of all bubbles that is going to burst and just take the U.S. economy down.
But there are some economists who do believe that this is going to drag down the economy. What are you basing your prediction on?
There was a very good story in the New York Times last week looking at the adjustable rate mortgage market. And one of the big surprises has been, you know, adjustable rate mortgages, this was the really risky side of the market. This was people that were really stretching to buy. And about $400 billion in adjustable rate mortgages are resetting this year, about $1 trillion next year. So that's when the market was going to collapse. And yet, there's been very little distress in the market. And you know what? People aren't that dumb. I mean, what they're doing is they're refinancing, or it turns out, you know, the increase in their mortgage is just not that much. So one of the things I think is happening is that the mortgage market is just not as disastrous as everyone had forecast.
Where does this bottom out?
I think this bottoms out several years from now. So I expect prices will go down. I expect they will go down significantly over a long period of time, perhaps somewhere in the range of 8% over a period of several years. That's not a collapse, but it's going to have a genuine impact on the housing market and the pocketbook of the American homeowner.
And if you are an American homeowner, what do you do with this information?
There's all kinds of advice on the internet, actually some pretty good advice about how to make your place sellable in a tough market. A little bit of landscaping, a little bit of painting, things that don't cost you that much money, but make your place presentable. So we're going back to that whole era. And if you're a buyer, be aggressive. Don't overpay. Get what you want.
That sounds pretty good.
Okay.
All right, Chris, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Chris Farrell is the Marketplace Economics Correspondent. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening, and have a great day.
American Public Media.
You know the first rule of real estate, right?
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.